is spiritual living? You all get to answer it for yourselves in your own ways. For me, it is about remembering to connect with that divine love that is never withheld, that is always present, always giving of itself to each of us, always present within our own hearts. When I align with it, when I enter into one of my morning practices, which is beloved presence, open my heart, illumine my mind, and guide my hands that I might be the presence of God's love in the world today, I am fully aligned. And then I want to take that out into the streets. So the love of God and the wisdom of God, which dwell within each of us in our own individual ways of understanding and experiencing it and expressing it, is one of the most important parts for me about spiritual living. And that wisdom teaches us that there is an intelligent creative process in this universe that works in, through, and as us. And we have the ability, as we're developing our spiritual living, to learn to speak our words of truth in order for them to fulfill themselves in our lives and ultimately in the world. Truth on our tongue. That's what Emma Curtis Hopkins used to say. Let there be truth on your tongue. I'll go back for a moment to what this Centers for Spiritual Living Global Vision is for the year of 2017. It's values-based spiritual living. And January's theme is spiritual living. Duh. Today, we're basing this on the, isn't this a pretty one? We're basing this on the fourth introductory chapter in The Science of Mind, written by Ernest Holmes in the early 20s. I won't be able to say that much longer without saying the 2020s, huh? And it's called How to Use It. And so my topic today is let's put it to work. We understand that there is a presence which loves and nurtures unconditionally. And we know that there is a law which responds to our belief and acts upon it. It responds accurately and dependably. And now we're able to enter authentically into real transformation of our hearts and minds. We are the ones who get to do that. We're not waiting for someone to show up and make it all good and right. Each of us has the opportunity to do that. And we're able to bring our greater spiritual magnificence into our everyday human existence because we are spiritual human beings. And it's our honor and it's our privilege to rise up in consciousness and do the work that we're here to do. We know it's possible because we're never doing it alone. We know that God is a mighty moving power for good. And that presentation, that representation, expresses itself in, through, and as each one of us, as individualizations of that life and of that presence. So spiritual living to me is experiencing the divine love, choosing conscious, creative, uplifting thoughts, understanding the creative process, and allowing the law to work gracefully through us and taking it to the streets. We want to move from the talking school to the walking school. Really, let's take this into our daily lives, as Mari was saying earlier. One of the most powerful meditative dyad experiences working in workshops sometimes with people is to have two people working together, one of them asking the same question over and over again. Who are you? And then the hats begin to come off. Oh, it's not what I do for a living. Who are you? Here comes another one. Oh, it's not my place in my family. Who are you? The hats come off until we get closer and closer to realizing that who we are is a beautiful expression of the living God. That's the truth of our being. All these other things happen out there, and they'll keep happening out there because form comes into being and then it leaves again. That's the nature of form. But the formless, that first cause, the individualization through you, the presence loves and it gives. And in it, there is total freedom. And the law responds to us according to our beliefs. And so we sometimes hear ourselves scratching our head saying, I believe, Lord, help thou my unbelief. We have doubts. We see things show up in the world that we were not praying for. Anybody? Well, my responsibility is to cleanse my own instrument so that the divine love can flow through it more gracefully, so that the creative process has a clear path. And this creative process is intelligent and it's wise and it knows what it's doing all the time and it needs our cooperation. The way I am learning to cooperate with it more and more every day is to be willing to look to see what needs to be cleared out or transformed from my subconscious mind. What false beliefs, what agreements did I make from the time I arrived in this planet, on this planet, that really were not serving me or anybody else around me very well? Some of you are in the Four Agreements class right now. And we've learned, yay! Let's hear it for the Four Agreements, yay! And this is a very powerful, practical way of living spiritually, to be impeccable with your word, not to take things personally, not to make assumptions, and always to do your best. I think it's very sweet that he left that for the last one. It's like, well, I'm trying to be impeccable with my word. It's not always easy. I just said something. It's not always easy not to take things personally. Who was it? Who was a director of a movie? And he said, of course I take things personally. I take a bad sunset personally. That's part of our human condition. I don't like it. But we all experience it from time to time. So don't make assumptions. Oh, I hear some rich stories every now and then about people who made assumptions, and I have some of my own as well. If you hear something that was said differently than you heard it, and you can get all huffy about it, and then it's like, oh, you said that, not this. Oh, oops, and get smaller. I love this. Seek first to understand. Don't make an assumption about it. Let's find out what really was meant. Let's give each other an opportunity to explain yourself, Lucy. But these things are hard to do. Which is why the last agreement is, always do your best. You know, so that you can put your head on your pillow at night and go, I did the best I could today. I did better today than I did yesterday. That's important to me. Ernest Holmes says, when we are dealing with real life, with thoughts, impulses, emotions, etc., we're dealing with causation, with original cause. And we should be most careful how we deal with such powers and forces. In dealing with this subtle power of mind and spirit, we are dealing with a fluent force. It is forever taking form and forever deserting the form which it has taken. The practitioner, and by the way, everyone who practices science of mind and practices affirmative prayer, spiritual mind treatment, is a practitioner of science of mind. We have beautiful people, well-trained, licensed, and go to them, but keep in mind that when Ernest Holmes writes about a practitioner, he's speaking about each and every one of us. The practitioner of this science should not be confused over any given form, but should know that any form which is not of the original harmony is subject to change. The original spirit is harmony. It is beauty and truth and everything that goes with ultimate reality. The universe is not divided against itself. I say that again. The universe is not divided against itself. Things may look divided out in the world. Things may feel divided within ourselves. But the universe never is. It is a unity. A oneness, harmonious. But you see, it's more than thought. Yes, we watch our thoughts, but it's more than thought. We are profoundly aware today of emotion. There's so much emotion rising up within the human consciousness. It's not a bad thing. It's a necessary thing. We're experiencing fear and anger and indignation and confusion. Well, Ernest says we should be able to look a discordant fact in the face and deny its reality. Sure, in terms of it being real and lasting and profoundly true, we must deny that it's eternally true. But it's happening right there, right now. It's happening in here, right now. So we must not deny the emotions that are rising to the surface. And why are they rising to the surface? For understanding, for healing, for divine right action. So how do we change our circumstance? I think it has to do with changing ourselves. I know that I'm the only one whose consciousness I can change. I mean, I can talk to you all day long, but are you really going to listen? Yeah. But I'm the only one. And I work on it. Happily, it's joyous activity. It's a good occupation to be lovingly, wisely working on our own consciousness. How do we deal with intense emotion? Anybody ever have any here? Intense emotion? No, okay. Oh, you do, what, one, yay, two, three, four. She raised both hands. You know how we deal with this intense emotion? By being willing to look at the hot mess, and it is a hot mess of our emotions. It is. It is. I won't even make you repeat that after me, but it's a hot mess. Oh, go ahead. It's a hot mess. Doesn't that feel better? Of emotions as they arise individually, as they arise collectively, because we see and feel a lot of that that's taking place right now. We bring the love and the wisdom of Christ consciousness to it. It's the only thing that's going to help us transform it. And that, it's like, it's what's needed. We need all the stuff that's happening right now. It's coming up very much on purpose. It's the time. It is time. We have been waiting for it, and we didn't even know it. But we have. We've been waiting for the opportunity for this clarification. And sure, change the consciousness and the false condition disappears. But change the consciousness and keep changing the consciousness. And keep being willing to let the stuff come up and deal with it. Ernest asks at one point in this chapter, who knows what might transpire if all would begin speaking the truth? Who knows what might transpire? Well, like the four agreements, this very practical spirituality Erna says, we should work, not with anxiety, but with expectancy. Not by coercion, but by conviction. Not through compulsion, but in a state of conscious recognition and receptivity. You know, Ernest Holmes began every talk with this statement, there is a power for good in the universe greater than you are, and you can use it. We finally come to the realization that there is a power for good in the universe, and it can use you. Let's invite the instrument of our being, physical, emotional, mental, that persona. Remember persona, the Greek word that the ancient actors, the ancient Greek actors would use in 500 BC. The persona would be the mask through which they would speak their lines. The persona, personality, our physical, emotional, mental instrument, it's my job to refine my instrument in order for the love of God to be able to flow through more gracefully and graciously. It's my job to refine this instrument so that I allow whatever hot mess of emotion to come up, to have it come up and to turn it over, to surrender it to that great love and wisdom of the divine that's within me and that's within you. My job to do that. It's a well-paid job. The results are beautiful. Every day, there's something to deal with, isn't there? Let us not get into that place where, oh, here it comes again. How am I going to deal with it again today? No, it's like, I've come farther today than I did yesterday. Let's see what's up now. And we get respites in between. We get to laugh and play and love each other. And we'll always do that. And that happens to be a very profoundly essential part of this teaching, is that we connect on the deepest divine human level with each other as we're doing our work within, and we support each other in doing this. I want to be the clearest instrument I can be, and I know you do as well, through which answers are now revealed to us. What direction will I go? How do I deal with this feeling? What do I do with that one? Yes, it's about keeping our thought pure and clear, but it's also about allowing these feelings and upsets and angers to come up, you know, and what's going on in the whole world. It used to be, you know, I don't like you very much, and it seems to have increased now to, I hate you. Have you noticed any of that going on? Okay, it's not bad, it's not wrong. It's coming up because it's been there for a long time. And it's coming up now because it's time for a greater healing to take place than we've known before. And I don't know what you need. I know that I need to offer any of this up on the high altar, to sacrifice it to the great profound love and the amazing wisdom of the divine that knows what to do. Know so much more than I do. But I want to keep my instrument as clear as I can, my persona as clear as I can, so spirit within me can provide through me the answers for my life, as they're doing for you. And then together as a community, we get to elevate the energies. And it's all energy, isn't it? So we get to elevate those energies by saying, use me. There's a power for good in the universe greater than I am, and oh, let it use me. Yes? Could that be a yes, please?
Yes, please.
I love that. So Ernest also began this chapter 4 with the words, one of the great difficulties of the new order of thought is that we are likely to indulge in too much theory and too little practice. That's why I want us to make it real for us. I want us to take it to the streets. But what happens is, when we're in our meditation or prayer chair, and we're feeling that divine alignment and that beautiful sense of love flowing through us and infinite possibilities, and we're ready to let infinite wisdom show us what they are, we fill up with that, and then we go out into the world and share it to the best of our ability until things might start get to be a little, I'm not sure I can deal with all this right now. We go back to the prayer share. So it's bring it in, come in, bring it out. And it's a continual process. When we understand that as a spiritual community, we can support each other in this process much more easily. Come into the prayer chair. Come out into the world. Fill up with love and wisdom. Clarify what needs to be clarified, and then bring the best of ourselves out into the world. I think most of us were taught that it's respectful to show up in the world looking the best that we can. We shine our shoes. We comb our hair. We bring the best of ourselves out into the world. Well, that's just our appearance. What we really also wish to do is to bring the shiniest and the best and the most profoundly authentic self out into the world. What happens then is that other people go, oh, I remember now. Even without a word, we're sharing with other people the possibility of standing in our truth. Because the energy of love and the energy of wisdom is so real that it's felt without a word. I have a license to preach, but I prefer not to. We don't need to preach to people. We just need to be the most magnificent spiritual human beings that we can be. I'd like to read the last part of this chapter. It's on page 60 of the Science of Mind. A new light is coming into the world. We're on the borderland of a new experience. The veil between spirit and matter is very thin. The invisible passes into visibility through our faith in it. A new science, a new religion, and a new philosophy are rapidly being developed. This is in line with the evolution of the Great Presence, and nothing can hinder the progress. It is useless as well as foolish to make any attempts to cover this principle or to hold it as a vested right of any religion, sect, or order. The truth will out. The spirit will make itself known. Happy are we if we see these things, which from the foundation of the human race have been longed for by all aspiring souls. Everyone here is an aspiring soul. And let's please remember that everyone we meet on the street is an aspiring soul, and honor that within them. True thought deals directly with first cause, and this science is the study of first cause, spirit, or the truth, that invisible essence, that ultimate stuff and intelligence from which everything comes, the power back of creation, the thing itself. Say with me, please, because we're now going to put this into practice, and I would like you all to fill up with divine love and take it to the streets, okay? So will you say with me, I perfect my belief. I keep my attention on life, love, wholeness. Plenty and creativity. I live my life with truth and joy. And I make a positive difference every day. And so, my beloveds, beginneth our lesson.
Thank you for listening to our podcast. We love having such a special means of connecting with you, and trust you have enjoyed this message. If you have benefited from and been uplifted by these ideas, and would like to learn more about our spiritual community, please go to our website at cslphilly.com. And if you wish to express your gratitude, simply click on the Donate button to experience the joy of conscious giving. Your generous support makes it possible to share these messages of inspiration with all the world. Please share this message with anyone you feel might benefit, and encourage them to subscribe to our podcast by searching GPCSL on your favorite podcasting application. Again, thank you for joining me and the Greater Philadelphia Center for Spiritual Living Community, as together we create a world that works for all.